doesn't matter your age. And when we gather round the table, we all take the stage year after year. So tarry here. We're living now and we're all in this place. So be sure to smile at each passing face.
Good afternoon. This is Fanny Crawford and
Stasiel Kalski.
Welcome to the Enlighten Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenradio.org, broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia. You were just listening to Andy Offit Irwin singing his original composition, Tarry Here. Thanks, Andy, for letting us use that as our opening. Well, it's been a while since we've been here. Our theme today is good neighbors, and we're back and feeling neighborly again after traveling and staying home for colds and coughs and various ailments, but I think we're healthy and so glad that you're listening. Stash.
This week we're going to have stories about good neighbors, and Fanny is going to start us off. Fanny, what's the first story?
Oh, okay. My first story is called Field Neighbors. And I just heard this story yesterday for the first time, so this is my first telling. We'll see how this goes. If it's really good, I'll keep it in my repertoire. If not, listeners, you can let me know. Okay, so friends of mine visit a cabin in upstate New York periodically, but they hadn't been there for a while, and they went up a few weekends ago for the first time in quite a while, at least the first time this summer and fall season. And they know when they go that one of the first things they have to do is tromp noisily around the cabin and chase out all the little critters that have been squatting there since the last time there were human beings using this residence. There's a couple who's a caretaker for the cabin, and they come and change the sheets and make sure that the food is stocked, the basic non-perishables, and generally make sure the windows don't get broken, things like that. So those people are there keeping track of things. But there hadn't been anybody actually living there for some time. So that is what they did. They tromped around the house. It's just one big room, but they carefully went over the whole thing, and they looked in cabinets, and they looked under beds, and there were spider webs and a few crickets, and they found evidence that there had been a bird in the room at some point that season, but they didn't actually find any of the usual critters, so they were relieved about that. And they went for a hike in the afternoon, and when they got back, it was bedtime, and they started turning down the beds, and what should they discover but these little nests under the blankets with little piles of nutshells. And there are several beds in the cabin, and in three of them they found these little nests of kind of fluffy, balled up threads and dried leaves, but there were also these empty nutshells. So they decided there must have been squirrels living in this very intimate human setting underneath the blankets. Well, they changed all the sheets and blankets, of course, and they did end up going to bed in good time. And in the morning, they woke up and decided they would make pancakes for breakfast. And when they pulled out the canister of flour from the cabinet, they opened up this tin, very light tin box, and a mouse shot straight up out of the canister and disappeared underneath the furniture in the kitchen area. And all the children shrieked, and the adults were a little discombobulated. But my friend, who's the cook in the family, was the only one who actually knew where that mouse had come from. So she was able to salvage enough flour from the flour canister to make their pancakes for breakfast. And as she was doing that, she figured out how the mouse had gotten into that tin. There must have been a small rust hole or a dent or something in the corner, because the mouse had managed to chew through this lightweight tin and get into the flour. But no one else knew that the flour was a bit questionable. The pancakes apparently were pretty good. Everybody was happy with the pancakes, and nobody else but the cook knew where that flour had been. The children, meantime, were busy looking for the mouse, turning over furniture and slamming around on the floor. They decided the mouse's name would be Flour, because they did know that Flour had been involved in some way. But I think they were also thinking of the skunk in that Disney cartoon Bambi, that the skunk's name is Flour. At least that's what my friend told me. They went for another hike, and when they came back and were getting cleaned up to go home, they decided they would try to capture this mouse. And they did have a cereal box that they had brought with them, and it was now empty. So they put down this box with some peanut butter in it. And as they were loading the car, the house was empty for a little while as they were packing up. And when they came back in, they managed to surprise the mouse in the cereal box and get her. Children had decided this was a girl mouse, by the way. They got her sealed up in that box. But then there was a long, long conversation about where they were, what they were going to do with this mouse. The children wanted to leave the mouse in the house, thinking that, well, there wouldn't be anybody using the house for most of the winter. So it just made sense that if the mouse already lived there, why wouldn't they just leave the mouse? And of course, the adults in the party had a different frame of reference. One factor being, if you leave a mouse in your house, even if there's no one there, when you come back, there will be at least 25 mice in your house. So they were not going to leave the mouse there. But then there were options. Should they take it to the state park nearby? There was a meadow just down the mountain. But the children said, no, no, there are fierce foxes and even wild dogs in that meadow. We can't leave the mouse there. So then there was a discussion of farms and the different farmers who lived nearby. And they finally settled on a nearby farm. The children liked this family who ran the farm. And they weren't actually going to tell the farmer that they were leaving the mouse on their property, but they didn't think the farmer would mind. And what they particularly liked about this place was that the family were actually vintners, and there was some vineyards that the kids were enamored of because there were organic grapes there, and they thought it was important that this little animal that they had dislodged from her home should have the benefit of organic grapes. And so they drove down there on their way out, headed home, with this cereal box in the car, secured inside a huge plastic bin. And when they got to the edge of the property, they all piled out. They took the cereal box out of the bin and set it down at the edge of the field and opened it up. And that mouse shot out of the box like she had just been waiting for that opportunity. And the youngest child said, she didn't even say goodbye. And they all had to sigh for a minute. And then the elder brother said, look, look, over there. And there, a little ways into the field, was a mouse standing on her hind legs, peering over the tall grass stalks at the edge of the field. She seemed to be holding a little dried up grape between her two front paws, and she was looking directly at them. And they all started clapping and laughing, and of course the mouse disappeared with all that racket. She turned and disappeared into the brush. But they did have a wonderful ending to their weekend away. And they had a new friend. Okay.
That's nice.
Thank you, Sash.
Yeah. She must have been enjoying her first nibble.
Especially if they were organic grapes.
Right.
Of course, maybe they had been fermented by that time and she was having an aperitif.
And then she would be really enjoying it.
That's right. We should probably do a calendar update.
Okay.
Would you like to do that?
Oh, yes. And at this time of the year, a calendar update is kind of easy.
It's true. It's the end of the season.
Right. So on December 12th in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, the Speak Stories series will finish with a wonderful storyteller, the founder of the Speak Story series, Adam Booth.
Yay, Adam Booth.
Yes, and Adam will be speaking and telling stories on December 12th at 7:30.
Yes.
Reynolds Hall on Shepherd University campus. And you're listening to... How about that? You were listening to a moment of silence there because I hadn't turned the page. You are listening to talltales.enlightenradio.org coming to you from Bolivar, West Virginia.
And that's where you go for podcasts of our show.
That's right.
So if you didn't hear the first story or if you want to hear stories from weeks past.
So I like that story very much.
Oh, thank you, Stosh.
I like the idea of them setting the mouse free. It reminded me of my daughters when we found a couple of little chubby mice in our kitchen. My wife wanted to dispose of them in any way possible, but my daughters said, "Please don't kill the mouse, Daddy." And since I never said no to my daughters, I had to come up with some intricate plans to catch the mouse and put it outside, which I found out was not the best thing to do because they only found their way back in.
The same two chubby mice.
Probably. Anyway, so that was a lovely story. I liked it.
Thank you.
And I think you should keep it in your repertoire.
Okay, well. That's a vote for.
Yes, a vote for.
Okay.
And you, obviously, you liked it, or else you wouldn't have told.
I did like it. I particularly like the part about the organic grapes.
Yes. I'm not
sure. The children would be concerned.
I know it could be an entire show about what the word organic means.
So I guess I'll talk for a minute about the diaries of Adam and Eve, and then you're going to tell a story?
I will.
Okay, so the other big calendar update that we wanted to make sure our listeners know about is that Fanny and Stosh will be performing the final performance for Stories in the Round in Hagerstown at the Unitarian Universalist Church on December 18th. That's a Monday. It's not the fourth Monday this month as usual, because the fourth Monday would be Christmas Day, and we're not doing that. So instead, it's the Monday before the third Monday. And we will be doing something really new and different. Not so new and different for Stosh, because Stosh has a lot of theater experience, but certainly for Fanny, this is a brand new twist in the road. We're going to do a staged reading of Mark Twain's Diaries of Adam and Eve. And this is a really big deal.
And Fanny's going to be the star.
I'm playing the apple tree. No, I'm playing Eve. And so we take Adam and Eve through their whole life cycle. Through in this play, if you're not familiar with the stories and the play from Twain, it's definitely worth coming out to acquaint yourself. And we need this, the moral, I need the moral support. Stasha's an experienced actor, but I need some friendly faces in the audience, so I hope you'll come out. And if you want more information, you can call me at 301-730-1638 or contact me on email at fenitsky@hotmail.com. And I think we forgot to give information about the Speak Story Series, too. That would be www.speakstoryseries.com. Of course, if you're interested in podcasts, we'll give that website one more time, talltales.enlightenradio.org. But ideally, you are listening right now.
Right.
You're hearing us stream live. Stasha is going to tell us a story. I guess I'll do a real quick station ID because I don't know how long your story is going to be. But this is the enlightenradio.org community internet radio broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia. You're listening to Stasha Zilkowski and Fanny Crawford. You have the calm.
All right. Thank you. Lots of stories are can be told by anyone because they're in the public domain, but sometimes stories are, they kind of belong to someone because the person wrote the story themselves. And this is a story that was written by storyteller Dan Ketting, who is a marvelous national storyteller, and he gave me permission to tell his story as long as I acknowledge the fact that he wrote it and it's his. And this is one of my favorite stories to tell because it has lots of nice characters in it and a really good message. So here we go. There was a young boy who lived in a small village, and his job was as the shepherd. Each day he would take the sheep out into the valley and get them into a nice place where there was plenty of grass, and he had a partner, and the partner was his dog. And the dog was really very good at keeping the sheep where they're supposed to be and not letting them wander too far. Well, the boy always took with him a little lunch and his tambourism, because he loved to play his musical instrument and practice the songs that he would sometimes hear the older people in the town sing. On this particular day, they went a little bit further into the valley than normal, and he noticed once the sheep were all settled and the dog seemed to be happy with them, a kind of a cliff, and looked so ideal that he walked over to look at it, and he saw that there was a cave. Well, it appeared to be a very big cave, and it was really black in there. It was so dark he couldn't see anything past the entrance. But near the entrance of the cave there was a nice flat rock, and he decided that it would be an ideal place to sit and practice his music. And so he sat down and he began to play, and after he played a couple of tunes he decided that he would have something to eat. So he opened his sack with his food, and just as he was about to pull out something, a voice from the cave said, "Play some more." And he was so shocked to hear a voice, he quickly grabbed his tambourism and his bag and was about to run when the voice said, "Please, play some more." Well, the voice sounded so, just sounded so needy that he put down the sack, picked up his instrument, and he played another song. And the voice said afterwards, "Would you like to hear a story?" The boy said, "Oh, yes." And so out of the cave came the story. And so the boy played another song, and then there was another story. And this went on into the afternoon. Finally, when it was time to leave, the voice said, "Will you come back?" And the boy said, "Oh, yes." And off he went, returning the sheep to town. And he couldn't wait to go back the next day. Well, for the next week, they repeated their first day. The boy would play some music, and the voice would tell him a story. And there were wonderful stories. Stories of promises kept and promises broken. Stories of adventure. Stories of love. Stories of knights. Oh, just wonderful stories. And the boy was so happy that he practiced extra hard in the evening so that he would be able to play more music. Well, one day, the voice in the cave was telling a sad story. It was talking about how he was the last of his kind, and that he lived in that cave all alone, and he knew that he would die alone, and it made him very sad. Well, it so happened that as the boy listened, he didn't realize that he had stayed longer than normal, and the sun was setting low in the sky. And because it was setting low in the sky, the sunlight was creeping slowly into the cave. The boy wandered closer and closer. When he got into the cave, he could see who was telling the story. First he saw the razor-sharp talons, and then the tree trunk-like legs, and the leathery wings folded by its side, the blue-green scales, and horns, and smoke coming from the nostrils. And he realized he had been listening to stories being told by a dragon. And as the dragon was near finishing his sorrow story, a tear fell down on his cheek. And the boy was so touched, he reached out and placed his hand against the dragon's body. And the dragon's eyes snapped open, and his head reared up, and he said, "Aren't you afraid of me? I could reduce you to ashes in a second." And the boy kind of just giggled. And he said, "Why aren't you afraid of me? I could rip you apart with my claws." And the boy laughed out loud. And the dragon said, "Why aren't you afraid?" And the boy just looked up at him and said, "I can't be afraid of you. I know your stories." Well, the boy left that day and promised he would come back, and he did. But that night he thought and thought and thought about the dragon and how worried he was that he would die alone in that cave. And so the very next day, when the boy returned, he said, "I have an idea. You should come and live with our family. We have a big barn, and you could live in the barn, and you'd have good shelter." And, oh, the dragon said, "That wouldn't work. Your people and mine have been at war for 1,000 years. If I came to the town, the men would gather their spears and bows and arrows, and they would attack me. That wouldn't be good." So the boy fretted about it a bit, but told the dragon, "I'm going to figure this out." That very night, when the boy returned to the town, he happened to be walking by the square and heard some of the men sitting around talking about how no one ever came to their town. And the town down by the river had people come all the time because they had special things going on, but there was no attraction in their place. And the boy got an idea. He went to the mayor's office, and he spoke to the mayor. And the mayor was very surprised that this boy wanted an audience with him, but he listened. And the boy said, "I heard that people never come to our town, but they visit the town down by the river because they have some attractions there. But I know a great storyteller. And if we could get him to come to our town and live, we could have a great storyteller that people would be wanting to come here to hear." So the mayor said, "Well, that sounds like a good idea. I'd like to meet the storyteller." And the boy said, "Good. I'll take you to him, but he's very shy at first when he meets someone, so you'll have to wear a blindfold." The mayor thought that was strange, but he was intrigued by this little boy's story. And so he said, "Okay, but I'd like to bring the town council." And the boy said, "Fine, everyone can come, but we all need to wear blindfolds." So that very day, they gathered, and the town council and the mayor and the boy led them into the valley and out to the cave. And he had blindfolds for all of them. And he set them in kind of a semicircle in front of the cave and went in and told the dragon to come out. And the dragon began telling stories. Telling stories of love and loss and wonderful accomplishments and fierce battles and great triumphs. And finally, he told them the story of him living in the cave and how sorry he was that he was all alone, because he was afraid he would die there and he would be all by himself. And as he did, a tear fell from his eye, and as it rolled off of the dragon's face, it fell and hit the mayor's hand. Well, the mayor lifted his blindfold and looked down, and then looked up and saw who was telling the stories. And he reached out and touched the dragon. And the mayor elbowed the person next to him and whispered, "Take off your blindfold." And the man did. And then he elbowed the next person and the next person and around the semicircle until they all were looking at the dragon. And the mayor said, "Will you come to our town and be our storyteller?" The dragon said, "Oh yes, I would like that." Well, they left the cave, the dragon spread its wings, and the mayor said, "Can we ask one more favor?" And the dragon said, "Yes. Will you give us a ride?" And so the entire town council, the mayor, and the little boy got onto the dragon's back, and they glided down to the village. Well, from that day on, their village became very popular. Slowly at first, but then it gained and gained and gained. And so for many years, people traveled from all over to come to hear the wonderful storyteller. And time passed, and soon there came a day when it was time that the dragon was dying. And lying next to a man who had been a little boy and had first heard the dragon's stories, the dragon's head next to the boy's legs, he passed away. And he wasn't alone, and he wasn't sorry, and he had died surrounded by friends, especially one special friend, no longer a little boy, and it all happened because of a tear.
Thank you, Stosh. I do love that story.
Oh, I do too.
I like dragon stories in general, but that's a very special.
Yeah.
Dragon story.
Yeah. The first time I heard that was in Missouri. I attended a storytelling festival 1 week before the festival that I had organized in Arkansas. Actually, my wife kind of told me to go find something to do because I think I was getting on her nerves worrying about the festival coming up, even though it was all planned. And I heard Dan Ketting at the Storytelling Festival in Missouri, and he was coming to mind the very next week. And when I introduced myself to him, we had met through the internet. I introduced myself to him in person, and I said, you're coming to the festival next weekend to perform, and I would love to hear that story again. And so I was able to hear that story twice from him. And then he gave me permission to tell it. That's one of my favorites.
That's very good. I'm going to do a quick station ID, and then I have a question or two for you about that story. This is the Storytelling Hour on enlightenradio.org, and you're listening to
Stacy Okowski
and Fanny Crawford, your storytelling co-hosts. We're here every Monday at noon, and we're a community-focused internet-based radio station, so you can tune in at enlightenradio.org, but you can also go to podcasts and access stories from the past or stories from this week at talltales.enlightenradio.org. Stash, my first question is, what does a tambourism look like?
It's a small instrument, and it has strings.
So it's like a guitar.
I think it's kind of like a guitar, or probably more like a mandolin.
Okay, that makes sense. So about that size. I used to do Balkan folk dancing when I was in high school, and we did have tambourism, and I can't remember the other instrument, but if you had mentioned it.
About like a...
There was the occasional about, I'm thinking bazook something. Okay, that was my first question. My second question is, it occurs to me that story, it would be a wonderful frame story like Scheherazade and Thousand Nights, Thousand and One Nights. Have you ever been tempted to tell one of the dragon stories? One of the dragon's stories as a story within that story, if you wanted to do a much longer story
much
set.
Longer, that would be a great idea. The dragon could even tell another dragon story.
Yeah.
I have some dragon stories.
I know you do.
That's a good idea.
That seems intriguing to me.
Yes.
Thank you. And I do love the line, I can't be afraid of you. I know your stories.
And I think that's a great line in there that applies to people. If you know a person's story, it's hard to be afraid of them.
Mm-hmm. Depending on how scary the stories are. But yes. Yeah.
If they reveal their stories, then it's... But I guess you could be afraid of some people. Hannibal Lecter comes to mind.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
So... Do you have something for us, Fanny? Another?
Another story, or I do have a short little thing. This is a poem by Paul Laurence Dunbar, and I've been reading a lot of Paul Laurence Dunbar lately. Most of our listeners probably know Dunbar, but if not, he was a poet. Actually, he wrote a lot of different things. Wrote a lot of his poetry in dialect, in African American Southern dialect. But he wrote a lot of different kinds of poetry and was quite a respected and skilled writer in many types of literature. He lived from 1872 to 1906, died at a relatively young age. And I think was frustrated a lot of his life at his inability to cross the color barrier and be accepted as the great author and poet that he was. This poem's called Autumn. It's all a farce, these tales they tell about the breezes sighing and moans astir o'er field and dell because the year is dying. Such principles are most absurd. I care not who first taught 'em. There's nothing known to beast or bird to make a solemn autumn. In solemn times when grief holds sway, with countenance distressing, you'll note the more of black and gray will then be used in dressing. Now purple tints are all around, the sky is blue and mellow, and in the grasses turn the ground from modest green to yellow. The seed birds all with laughter crack of featherweed and jimson, and leaves that should be dressed in black are all decked out in crimson. A butterfly goes winging by, a singing bird comes after, and nature all from earth to sky is bubbling o'er with laughter. The ripples wimple on the rills like sparkling little lasses. The sunlight runs along the hills and laughs among the grasses. The earth is just so full of fun, it really can't contain it, and streams of mirth so freely run, the heavens seem to rain it. Don't talk to me of solemn days in autumn's time of splendor, because the sun shows fewer rays and those grow slant and slender. Why, it's the climax of the year, the highest time of living, till naturally its bursting cheer just melts into Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Paul Laurence Dunbar.
I knew that name well, but I didn't realize that he had died at such a young age.
Yeah, not a completely happy life. Mm-hmm. A lot of frustration at getting recognition for his work.
Where I grew up in Baltimore, there was a school mm-hmm. named for him.
Right.
Dunbar.
Schools all over the country, right. I think, named for Dunbar.
Well, that was really nice. I liked that very much. Let's see. I guess it's my turn.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You have another story for us.
Well, I have the one I was going to tell, and I think I better, because I don't want to come up with something brand new.
Oh. Although we all know that you can do that.
Well. I'm tempted to, but I don't want to try.
Well, there might be time for another story afterwards, an extemporaneous story.
Well, this one, I normally need a group of seven people with me to do this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but I have done it by myself, so I will. And this is the one I was going to do.
Well, feel free to ask for help.
How many people can you do?
Well, I think we could easily do the other six.
Okay. So... here we go. I usually do this with students, or mm-hmm. I've done it even with people in an elder care home. So we need some characters.
Oh, one of those?
Yes.
Arr, arr,
oh, good.
Arr.
Oh, good. And we need one of those.
Oh,
that's really good. And let's see, also we could use
if I didn't have to cook all the time, I'd have a lot more fun. Here I am back at the stove again.
Okay. So, and the way this works is anytime I mention one of these characters, you do your part, and I'll do the others. And
I'm a good grouchy aunt. I'm very good at being grouchy.
Good. That one and this one are in the beginning, and that comes in later.
All right.
Okay. So here we go. Oh, oh. Well, there was a blacksmith who worked hard all day long. And each day when he came home, he would come near the house, and he had a system set up where he could wash up outside the house And then he would go in, and what happened? Each day when he came home and washed up and he went into his house, the first thing he would hear would be his grouchy aunt.
"Here I am clattering these pots and pans
and
again."
Then he would hear the baby crying. Then he would hear his dog. And he would hear his wife say, "Have you washed your hands?" This went on every single day. So finally, one day he went to the local rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, what am I going to do? I work hard all day. I come home. I wash myself outside the house. I get cleaned up and then I go inside the house. And the first thing I hear is my grouchy aunt complaining.
I'm cooking. Get out of my way. Stay out of this kitchen."
And the dog is barking. And the baby is crying. And my wife is complaining and asking me, "Did you wash your hands? Did you do them cleaning?" Every day. Well, the rabbi said, Let me think. "Oh, I know what you need to do. You need to buy yourself a donkey." He did what he was suggested. And the next day, when he came home from work, he washed up outside the house, dried himself off, and walked in. The first thing he heard was his grouchy aunt.
"Stay out of this kitchen. You know I'm trying to cook here."
And then the baby. And then the dog. And his wife. "Have you washed your hands carefully? Did you dry off?" And then
a
donkey. So he went to the rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, I did what you suggested. But I come home from work and the first thing I hear is my aunt complaining."
I'm cooking here. Get out of the way.
Baby crying. And the dog barking. And then my wife, "Did you wash your hands?" And now a donkey. The rabbi said, "Well, let me think, my son. Oh, I know what you need. You need to get yourself a chicken." So, sure enough, he got himself a chicken. The next day he came home from work, he washed up outside the house, dried his hands and arms off, walked into the house, and first thing here was this aunt crouching.
"Out of the kitchen, you want to keep cooking here."
And the baby crying. And the dog. And his wife complaining, "Did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands?" And then the donkey. Now there was a chicken. It was such a headache to him. The next day he went to the rabbi and said, "Rabbi, I did what you asked me to do. But I came home from work and washed my hands and dried off and everything. I went in the house. There was my grouchy aunt.
This is my kitchen. I'm in here. Get out of here."
Baby crying. And then the dog. And then my wife, "Did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands?" And then a donkey. "Rabbi, what am I going to do?" Rabbi said, "Let me think, my son. I know. You need to get a cow." So, the very next day, he came home. He washed his hands outside and washed his arms off, cleaned up everything dry, walked into the house, and here's his grouchy.
"Are you back already? Get out of here."
And he cried, and the dog. And his wife was, "Have you washed your hands? Did you wash your hands?" And there's a donkey. And then the chicken. And now a cow. So he went back to the rabbi. "Rabbi, what am I going to do? I did what you said. I took your suggestion. Then when I came home, I washed myself. I went into the house, and the first thing I heard was my grouchy aunt.
Look out for that hot pan. Get out of the way.
Baby. And then the dog.
and my wife. Did you wash your hands? Did you lie off? Did you wash your hands? And then the donkey.
Hee-haw!
Hee-haw! And the cow.
No.
And the rabbi said, let me think, my son. Let me think. I know. Sell the donkey and the chicken and the cow.
No.
So he went and he sold the donkey and the chicken. The next day, after work, he came home. He washed up, dried off, walked in the house. There was his grouchy aunt.
You're back so soon. I'm trying to cook here.
And the dog. And his wife. Did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands?
And the blacksmith sighed and said, peace.
That was fun, Stosh.
That was great. You did a great job. Could be the Foley man.
Okay.
You know what the Foley man is?
No.
A Foley man or Foley person in radio was the person who had a nice big table full of all kinds of props. And during the radio stories, whenever they needed a sound effect, like a siren or a church bell or whatever it was, music, the Foley man, was the one who provided those sounds.
Very good.
And that was in the days when they didn't use electronics devices. Nowadays, you can do all that with a computer. But
we'll have to work on that some more. That was a lot of fun.
That's one of my favorites. I got that from a book. The book is called The Book of Jewish Humor.
All right.
And it's a lot of history in the book about great Jewish comedians.
And wise rabbis.
And wise rabbis. And lots of really wonderful stories. I've had that for many years.
I think I have that book on my shelf. Obviously, I need to read it.
Yeah.
Okay.
lots of wonderful things in there.
You're listening to the Storytelling Hour at enlightenradio.org. And your co-hosts for this hour every Monday at 12 noon to 1 p.m. are Fanny Crawford and
Stosh Silkowski.
And if you want to hear older shows that are podcast, you can go to talltales.enlightenradio.org and hear what we've done in the past. And this show will be up in a few days, and you can listen to it again, or if you missed the beginning stories.
I look forward to hearing this show myself, especially with the sound effects that you did.
Wonderful. It'll be interesting. Something different. Right. This time.
I enjoyed the poem very much that you read, and it made me think of, even though I know there is a poetry show.
Yes, on Enlightened Radio.
It made me think of something about storytelling that I ventured into a couple of times when I was still living in Arkansas. I did a couple of poems for special reasons, and they were story poems.
Mm.
And I wonder if we would...
Do a show of story poems?
About story poems.
I would like that.
I have a couple of them that I think might be fun to do. I know it would be fun for me to do them. I wonder if it would be fun for the audience to hear.
Of course.
Well, oh, good. Thank you. Now
welcome.
That you said that,
anytime.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of nice things in poetry that are truly stories, and the two I'm thinking of are original poems that I wrote for specific purposes when I was in Arkansas.
Yeah, I have a poem, a long poem like that I wrote, but I have not been able to find it. And it's been so long since I've recited it, I don't think I could do it from memory. So I have to go through my files, and I actually have it on tape as well.
We might have to clear that with the person in charge of the radio.
Oh, no, it'll be our secret.
Oh, I see.
don't tell John.
We won't let John know.
Okay. I want to make sure that our listeners all know about the Diaries of Adam and Eve. Will you talk about that one more time?
December 18th at 7 o'clock at the Universalist Unitarian Church. At 13245 Searfoss Road in Hagerstown, Maryland. Fanny Crawford and Stosh Silkowski will do a staged reading of The Diaries of Adam and Eve, written by Mark Twain. Now, stage reading is not just a reading. It is a performance where the people holding the scripts will be doing movements and will be interacting with each other.
An actual play.
It's an actual play. And in order to do an actual play for the stories in the realm would have required rebuilding the church and a number of other things. So we're going to do it as a staged reading, which is a popular device used in many small theaters.
Yes, and we have been in rehearsal for 4 months now,
yes.
At least 4 months.
Yes, and so we need to do that for a period of 4 months because at my age, I have to be reminded of where we are sometimes. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Because it started out gently with us just reading the parts and getting familiar with the words.
Well, this is not the first time you've done this play.
I've done this play a number of times. And I've seen it done a number of times. And it's a very wonderful show. And it's The Diaries of Adam and Eve might be misleading, but the true story is a love story, a story of a marriage throughout two people's lifetime and how they grow together.
And they do grow.
Yes. And it has lots of fun in it and interesting things that you would probably miss if you read the story in the Bible. Some of the things that Twain was able to bring out.
Research and bring out, yes.
With his special kind of humor.
Quintessential Twain.
Right. And the play has been done on Broadway many times and has traveled around the country and has been around for over 110 years. Mm-hmm. Actually, even maybe 120 years. I think Twain wrote the first version of this just about 1900 or a little before.
And he wrote this just after his beloved wife died. And he had also lost his daughter. Mm-hmm. So it was at an emotional time of life for him.
Right.
Very, very interesting backstory.
Right.
Plus, this is the last session of Stories in the Round. So
for
season four. We'll be starting up again in April. But this show will take you through the winter. We'll leave you with warm thoughts
and yes.
allow you to struggle through without Stories in the Round for a few months.
And if there are enough smiles on the faces in the audience, or just congratulations at the end, there may be even another offering similar to this in the future.
Ah, okay. We'll have to talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, I just snuck that in so that Fanny wouldn't have something to talk about on the way home.
Thank you, Stosh. Okay, so if you're interested in Stories in the Round at 13245, the Unitarian Universalist Church in Hagerstown on December 18th, you can give me a call at 301-730-1638 or contact me via email at Fanitsky. With a Y at hotmail.com. And if you're interested in the Speak Story Series, which is the final session for their season five, will be December 12th before they start up again. And I think they're starting earlier than usual in the new season, but I'm sure Adam can talk about that. Or you can go online to find out more information about Speak. For that December 12th performance starring Adam Booth, the series coordinator, at Speak Story Series. You can get more information by going to speakstoryseries.com, and that will tell you online that the last session is at Reynolds Hall in Shepherdstown on the university campus. And we'll tell you about how to get there.
And for those story lovers out there, people who are committed to good storytelling, this would be a special month because within 1 week, December 12th to December 18th, you will be able to catch each of the Speak Stories series and Stories in the Round series in 1 week, which doesn't normally happen since they're spread apart.
Yeah, that's right. They're different dates this time. And you can also go to our podcasts and hear past stories that we've told on air over the past, at least the past year. I think it even goes a little bit further than that, at talltales.enlightenradio.org. We have 5 minutes left. Sash, do you have a teeny story to tell?
A teeny story. A good neighbor story. Wow.
Or something related.
Well, one of the favorite neighbors I had when I was a kid, there was a lady by the name of, her first name was Rose. I don't know what her last name was. Maybe I knew it a long time ago. But Miss Rose lived two doors away from us. And she kind of became famous in our neighborhood when wrestling was on television. Now, I'm talking about the original wrestling on the television when there were stars like Haystacks Calhoun and Antonino Rocca, who was an Argentinian wrestler and who wrestled barefoot and who would come out into the ring and could leap over the ropes without touching anything into the ring. And this was back in the early 50s. Television was pretty new. And when in the days when they broadcast the wrestling, Miss Rose always kept her windows open. She had screens in them. But she was just like a commentator. She would sit close to her small screen TV, which was only about 10 inches around, and watch the matches, and she would scream at the TV, "Watch out, he's behind you, look out, oh no!" And she did it so well that sometimes there would be a small gathering by her front stoop just to stand there and listen. And one of my favorite memories is of my father on his way to a meeting, stopping with a group of little kids in front of him and a couple of men who were heading for the local bar, fixed, looking at that window and listening to Miss Rose's voice, cheering on the wrestlers. And she always had one favorite. And sometimes she would have been censored if there was a way to censor her. But it was really fun to listen to her. Anyway, that's my true neighbor story.
Miss Rose Calls the Match.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good. That's a good title for it.
Okay. Thanks. That was
Stash Tielkowski
telling Miss Rose Calls the Match, our final story for today's broadcast on the Storytelling Hour on enlightenradio.org, your community internet-based station from Bolivar, West Virginia. We're going to close out our session today, but stay tuned next Monday at noon. We'll be broadcasting again. In the meantime, you can go to talltales.enlightenradio.org if you want to hear past podcasts or this one, which will be up in a couple days. Okay, this is Fanny Crawford and Stash Tielkowski, your co-hosts for the Noontime Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour, closing out this week's show. The Epic Storytelling Hour offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional storytellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand all of our stories. Thanks for listening. and stay tuned.
Dick Tracy.
For Coming Dick up Tracy.
Next is Dick Tracy.
Hang on. Talk to you next week.
It draws near, so tarry here.